he ended up calling the police knowing that I had a warrant, you know. So I'm all cleaning the windows and saw the cops pull up the driveway. I slid down the ladder. Cops saw me run.
To oversimplify, you were a heroin addict.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you now are going to go to probably 5-6 million, probably 6 million at least this year plus.
Yeah.
So, hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Hook Better Leads podcast. And today I've got Jack Ryan Borges, and that's Gorgeous Borges to you.
How you doing?
Doing very good.
So what are we going to do today?
We're going to talk about your story, and I really appreciate you being on, because I know sometimes things don't go as planned.
Oh, absolutely.
And
twice.
And now we are on, and life is good, and we're going to talk about what happened, and then we're also going to talk about your business as it's growing. I mean, whether it's 5, 6, 7 million this year, you're going.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You're doing some stuff, and you've come a long way.
Yeah.
So, talk to me a little bit about your background, like, and I know it's an interesting story. So I'm going to start back. How'd you? Because you were addicted to some substances.
Yeah.
How did all that happen?
So it started with getting surgery on my hand. I got 6 surgeries, so that I was on pain medicine for a while. Not an excuse to abuse the medicine, but unfortunately I did. And it was expensive to buy the Percocet. So, you know, I was hanging out with the wrong crowd at the time. And, they introduced me to heroin. You know, I tried it because I was hurting and I was hooked. I loved it. Brought me down a bad path from stealing from people, stealing from my parents, losing a lot of friends. Pretty much, you know, either lost, gave up. I didn't lose custody. I was about to. My sister took rights, custody for me to my son until I got better. She gave me the rights back, but that's a little bit down the story. It's been a roller coaster.
And, how does roofing intersect with that? Like, how'd you get into roofing? Has roofing helped your life? I know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how I got into roofing, go back a little more, is, I'm on drugs. I'm cleaning windows out off a road out in Missouri. It's got woods everywhere. And I'm meeting this guy got a job for the guy I was working for, got into it. He ended up calling the police knowing that I had a warrant, you know. So I'm all cleaning the windows and saw the cops pull up the driveway. I slid down the ladder. Cops saw me run. You know, they blocked off the whole area because they were trying to find me while I was actually on the top 10 most wanted of St. Charles, which I'm not very proud of, but you know, so.
That's the thumbnail of this video, by the way.
Yeah. So, running through the woods, the cops were screaming at me. You know, they couldn't catch me. It took about 4 or 5 hours of them. They blocked off and secured the whole area. I had some drugs on me. I knew I was about to turn myself in. I was trapped either way. So I did the last of my drugs in the woods. And then
you were injecting?
Yeah, injected.
So you knew you were about to get hit by cops? And
I knew I was, I couldn't, they were everywhere, dogs, everything. So I ended up just shooting up in the woods, walked quarter mile down out of the woods, cops saw me, they said, freeze, and then they literally said, please don't run. You know, so they arrested me, got me in the back of the car, and he was like, man, you're the fastest dude. I don't know how I was that fast. I guess they were just not wanting to catch me or run into the woods.
Or a little out of shape.
Yeah.
Hey.
So I got arrested, went to jail, had a couple warrants out in different counties, so paid that warrant. Transferred another, ended up in St. Charles County, was there about 6 months, and was clean.
I know you had a time in the, was it a month by yourself in solitary confinement?
Yeah, it was about, I'll say 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll break it down if you want to get technical. It was about 3 weeks, and that was the most miserable time. I mean, they literally just, you don't get a blanket, a pillow, the lights on 24 hours, and you literally just get 2 books, a Quran and the Bible. So, you know, I wasn't a big reader back in the day, and these books are very hard to read.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're like broken down like how Shakespeare is, you know, like it's hard to read like that. So no, those are the only two books I had to read, you know. Get out of jail, long hair. There's a company called Carton of Contractors on the street. I had long hair, I had a, you know, bag on me, and walked up to this company, you know, I asked for a job, and they both, the business owner and his manager looked at me like, did you just get out of jail? And I was honest, I said, yeah. And we were talking for a minute, and he's like, do you know how to do coding? Told a little white lie. I was like, yeah, that's what we did. I did that in jail. I did a couple buildings, so yes. Well, I didn't know what coding was.
Yeah.
I absolutely had no idea. I never roofed besides installing shingles. That's it. Nothing with to do with commercial. I didn't know how to install shingles. And I looked it up on YouTube, studied all night, got to the job. He left me there alone. The good thing I studied, I knew how to flex all the pipes, the HVACs, use the flex tape to flex on top of that, and then the silicone, how to spread it out, how to evenly spread it across the roof. And then within 4 days, he came back, checked out the roof, and he said it was one of the best coding jobs he'd ever seen. So I started off like that and moved up to a project manager. And I started outselling his project manager. I'm outselling his sales guy as the project manager. Transitioned to that. I was there at that company about 5 years, and my brain was hungry for more. I was so used to, as an addict, you never go without, you're a hustler. You never see an addict without drugs. Mm-hmm. A true addict will never be without drugs. He will somehow hustle his whole day, even if it's the wrong type of hustling.
Yeah.
Either going into old abandoned buildings, stripping copper, which what we did, and cashing it in, and then going to get more drugs. So
you're highly motivated.
Yeah, I am, and I am not. That's why this comes in. These retreats like this come in.
I'm saying when you're a drug addict.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Like, because if you don't get it, it will be pain.
Oh, the worst pain. I'd rather have the flu.
Yeah.
Than to be dope sick. You know.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's. It's all on us because we do it to ourselves. I did it to myself. I destroyed everything around me. Everything I touched went rotten. But good thing is, you know, that company gave me a shot. I wanted to grow more. And then another guy came into play. The reason why I left Cardinal is because they just sat me at this position and I couldn't grow more. Great company, by the way. You know, I love the managers. I love the people over there. They're fantastic people. It's just I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I kind of did it dirty. You know, the new guy that came over, I just basically quit. You know what I mean? Went over and we started our own thing. I'm not going to name names because we went through court and stuff. But the guy ended up taking about $187,000 from me. He's done it to multiple of his employees, too. I mean, when the office was at my house for 8 months, you know, the first hire was my friend. The office lady was the girl I was with. And then he took that $187,000. Gave it to that person, you know, and it's just, I wasn't in the right mood to be in a relationship at the time too either, because it's just, I was so angry and hectic. So she did leave, take the money. And
that was a new low for you.
Absolutely. It shot me down. I didn't do drugs. I drank at the time. I was drinking. I wasn't drugging. I'll never go back to drugs the way it put me in that situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, it put me in such a dark path that, you know, about a week later, you know, I was supposed to have a friend come over, and he didn't show up at the time he was doing it. He came over 4 hours late. Mm-hmm. That day, I ended up taking a knife to my arm and, you know, cutting it here, cutting it over, cutting it up, circling out this way, and coming up, as you see right there.
What were you drawing here?
I was drawing my life.
Yeah, you're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's so. He finds me, I wake up in the hospital. You know, it's crazy how God has a plan for people, you know. I look at it, he made my friend late for 4 hours so he could find me.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knew I already made a decision with doing that, but it wasn't my time, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So, got out of that mess, you know, it took a while. Luckily, I had an LLC in my name that I haven't touched, that I opened. Jumped into that, started it. It was tough, man. From the beginning, it was just me. I was the project manager. I was the guy that wrote the estimates. I was the guy that had a call on the claim, that every single step running it, you know, and it was just stressful. And then slowly money started coming in, things started playing into what my vision was. But what got me to that was, I'll go back because I forgot a part, was a good friend of mine, Brody, I say Brody Allen because that's his company that he named after his son. His name is Steven Matheson. Fantastic guy. Runs a great company. He's crushing it. He told me about Revolt, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went to a free retreat, and I was biased about the whole thing. I'm like, this is another scam. I've been to stuff like this, you know. So I went there with an open mind, and I ended up like breaking me down. I ended up opening up to these guys, ended up sharing, and they didn't judge me. Didn't pass one sort of judgment on me at all at these retreats. And that's why I believe in them so much. You know, Hunter took us to a cemetery to where we write a eulogy. First he said, what tombstone draws your attention? What draws you to this tombstone? And then draw it and write a little story of why it draws you to. Then, on the second note, write a eulogy about someone that you know, that you love, that loves you, and their perspective about you. Would it be good or bad? What would be your lasting legacy if you died right now? I didn't like it. I wrote it to my son. It's like, Dad, you were there in and out, you know, and I just wrote it out. And then Hunter goes, now go home and read it to your who you wrote it for. Went home, read it to my son, and we both broke down crying. I mean, it brings me tears even thinking about it right now. But it drew our relationship together so much. I'm so grateful for that aspect of my life to be able to meet these men to where, on another note, it made me meet Eric Overman. You know, I met him at a members retreat. First time I ever met him, we did a cold plunge. Broke open the eye, sitting there, you know, cocky.
In a lake or something?
Yeah, right? Lake. And I was a little cocky. Everybody's getting out after 3 minutes. I'm like, I'm going to do another 2 minutes. You know, that's like how stubborn I am. You know, so as I was doing that, they were looking at me like, all right, well, we're going to start asking, let's do some questions. So they started asking me questions, and, you know, I was just cold, and I was just spewing out like verbal diarrhea to these guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know none of these guys. You know, they broke down crying a little, and they both were accepted to it. And that's how I met Eric. And I knew Eric, out of all the people there, I clicked with him a lot. Even though we didn't talk, I knew he was the guy that I vibed with. Yeah. You can just sense an aura.
And by the way, we're at a thing in the Cayman Islands with Eric. Eric organized it, the Exhale trip. His cult culture thing.
Yes, I would.
And like, just where we've been scuba diving, just to give a little context to the show.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of great, let's get to a story. So yesterday, actually, it was a great story. He was having some trouble with his breathing mask, and he actually did fantastic yesterday. But the day before, he had to go up, he went back on the boat.
Yeah, I was actually considering, like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do this.
You know, and I knew you had it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a killer like all of us. So you had it. So you performed it right. We're doing our testing. We have to do tests to get our certification, which we've got now. But while we were doing our testing, I'm standing right next to him. We're looking this way. And we had to do one of those where you had to grab, shake, cut off. But the guy's talking. He's doing this to me and him. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what this means. Apparently that means shark. Well, I turn around and it's more closer to him, so I was kind of cool because he would have got eaten instead of me.
Yeah.
Well, you turn around, like, you know how things seem closer when it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, it probably was 10 feet, but it seemed like it was literally 4 feet from you.
Yeah, because
like 8 foot.
When you're under the water, everything seems closer. Or is it farther away?
Farther away.
Actually, farther away. So it might have been 4 feet.
I don't know. You know,
it definitely, I think somebody said it was 10 feet, so maybe we'll just take their word for it. But the funniest part was, is I literally just kind of tried to stay kneeling.
Oh, we had to. And he was just like, all right, what's performing? I couldn't even pay attention to him.
No.
And it was circling. Exactly.
And they were just like, yeah, apparently it's normal if you're a scuba diver.
Oh,
in certain areas, they don't attack you, unless you kick them in the head or something. You know?
Yeah, they're not great white. If you saw a great white, then you would have a problem. That's what they said. But these white tips and these black tips and these nurse sharks, and I believe it was a white tip, you know. So.
What is it?
It's a little tip. Bigger than a nurse. It's aggressive, but, you know, there was like a group of us, so it wasn't going to do nothing. It was only 6 foot or 8 foot anyways. It wasn't a
Yeah, six or 8 foot. Yeah, so anyways, I had to think about it like it was a figment of my imagination. I literally, because I was having, my main thing I was focused on was not being anxious.
No, yeah.
Not being anxious.
Yeah.
And he's calming me down, so I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I'm focusing on not being anxious and focusing on my breath. And I turn around and there's a motherfucking shark. And I have to turn back around and I do.
And perform your test.
And trying to pretend like I didn't just see a shark.
Yeah.
And I literally, I kind of put it like a figment of my imagination, but I just said, like, the most important thing is that I stay calm and keep breathing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that would be a much bigger problem than a shark at this point in the game.
Oh, it was majestic down there, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, like, you're so focused on your gear and how to breathe and the situation down there. Literally, for the first time in a while, I wasn't thinking about work or anything. I didn't think about anything besides what was in front of me, what I was seeing, because trying to take that all in, because my whole life I've been a land dweller.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And then we think we were these mermen and we go in the water. And
I want to go down again, man. I just got the chills thinking about it.
Now, I'm going to start doing it all the time. I suggest everybody should go outside of their comfort zone and try something new. Like, I would have never done scuba diving if it wasn't for Eric's group, the Cult Culture. It actually gave me a task to do. And I finished, and I felt good at it. I mean, I did the book, I did the open water, the pool dive, and then here we did the pool dive.
Yeah, and I really feel like this is a good, it calms you down. You have to be calm.
Oh, you have to.
So like, if you are struggling with anxiety, this is an interesting test.
It is, because if you can get past that step and get down there, I mean, I think it would help out with a lot of people coping with anxiety.
It
may cause a little at
first,
but it actually gets rid of more when you actually follow through with it.
And I like had to like prepare my mind. Like, I think it was Tuesday night or something. I was literally like, I was thinking about death a lot.
Oh, you were visualizing it in the pool. I saw you in the pool. You were like, all right, I'm not up practice. It was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I was doing stuff trying to prepare, but it's a great experience. So yeah, that's definitely something I would recommend. And doing stuff you're scared of, right? Like, doing stuff you're scared of is interesting. It makes life, because I literally thought, like, as we were in the car going, I think maybe the second day, like, you know, they say most people are scared to die, but they should be scared that they never live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's scary.
It's a lottery ticket to be alive.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'd rather live fully, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. A life where I'm not like experimenting and trying things, not being an idiot, but like trying things and pushing a little bit, like, is so much more interesting.
Oh, it is. And I never knew that concept, coming out of an addiction and starting my own business and then joining these groups. I never knew that I needed this in my life until I had it. Now I know that I can't live without it, because I get held accountable from you guys. If I make a goal and I tell someone, they're checking up on me, making sure I'm following through with it, you know, and that's what I love about this group. You know, there's no getting away with anything. And everyone's here to support you too. If they know you're putting in the work, they're here, they got your back. And that's why I joined the Cult Culture movement, you know. To meet guys like you, like, I mean, it's like sitting with the celebrity of the roofing industry right now.
Oh, you know? You're too nice, man.
Like, it's just been an honor to be able to sit and pick your brain and then find out we have a lot in common ourselves, you know, like that weird stuff that is in common.
Like peanut butter pickle sandwiches.
Yes, I thought I said it out loud and he was like, those are really good. And I was like, no one eats that but me.
I grew up eating that. It might be a poor person's food.
We
ate a lot of hot dogs and saltines and like American cheese and then peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
Yeah.
But that, honestly, I can't even think of anything better right now.
You know, and then I would have never known about structuring my business the way it's structured now without being a part of these groups, going to these roofing conventions, going to these academies and all that. Like, I thought I was doing good. We pulled in just right off the bat $2 million this year. And I'm like, oh, we got this money. And we still have jobs we haven't even finished. So if you really break it down, wouldn't it be?
Jerry did $2 million this year.
Yes.
So you probably will do six.
Yeah. Well, we already have we have 88 more jobs that we signed with contingencies and contracts right now, with more coming in. It's just, if I didn't get that consultant, I would have literally screwed myself. Like, I'm not a numbers guy, you know.
You got somebody focused on QuickBooks and dashboards and numbers.
Yeah. So tracking
QuickBooks. Peace out, dudes. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, sir.
You guys are badasses.
I love you guys.
This was really fun. Thank you for helping
us. Absolutely. Sorry about that, guy. But coming up, being able to put processes in play, knowing where my numbers are at, getting real-time numbers and losses, you know,
finding out that 2023, I took a hit on some things. Not technically on the insurance side, meaning like it took too long to do jobs, so those second checks weren't released. It was over the 8-month mark. Some of them were almost a year, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And unfortunately, everything was so backed up, I didn't have a system to where someone was calling the insurance and getting extensions, doing those things. We still did those jobs for the customers. The customers didn't lose out.
Yeah.
We still did our duty and held our integrity and still did all the work we were supposed to.
If you truly believe in what you're doing and you want to be the best version of yourself and you want to build a great organization, there's no other place to do that besides the Roofing Academy.
So it really took you getting this QuickBooks and numbers focused consultant that helped you.
Yes.
Like if you had to suggest this to somebody else, like who are they looking for? Like an accountant?
I'd say a bookkeeper, you know, that can get you real time numbers on the jobs and tell you what's coming in and coming out. And then also you need an office manager that knows how to put everything in Nimbus, strategize, call the insurance, you know, doing supplements, mm-hmm. making sure those checks are getting picked up, following up with all those things. We have actually two staff now, but at first you need your office running solid, because if you don't have your office running solid, this is my feeling, you know, mm-hmm. other people could have different views on it, is your sales guys aren't going to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're turning, you can turn in all these jobs, but if you don't have anybody in the back end helping with them and doing it, mm-hmm. then those jobs aren't getting completed. And come the show, that's what happened to me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I lost out on a lot of money. So now we got all these processes in play, bookkeeping. We got tracking charts from 2023, 2024. Got QuickBooks hooked up to everything. Everybody's scanning everything into Nimbus. Everything mm-hmm. flows through it. And so the efficiency right now is running good. Not to say there's still kinks that we got to work out, because all this is new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it put me in a position to where I felt better, to where I could leave. You know, this mm-hmm. is the first time I was able. There's been times I could leave, but it was me leaving. You know what I mean? And putting the business on hold, and it was just my customers. Now there's multiple sales guys, customers, and all that. So I felt like I always had to be there, and not, you know, I've missed multiple retreats this year because of the business, you know. And then this one, I was like, I can't miss, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? I put too much effort, time. I passed my book and test. You know, there's going to be people in there. I need to be able to breathe. I need to be able to just sometimes just decompress.
Yeah. What would you say is an analogy or something that you feel like related to scuba diving that relates to business?
Ooh, let me think here. Analogy relatable to my business.
Yeah, what were things you were thinking about as you're going down, or like, do you think in that way?
Like, yeah, so when I was going down, I was thinking more about my manager. I mean, this might not be what you're talking about, but I was thinking about how much he's helped me, how much he's been there, how much he's supported me, and how he holds me accountable. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how I need to be more open with the office, give them more of a role to do.
Did some deals close while you were here?
Yes.
Deals were closing while you're gone.
Yesterday, no. Today, yes. But that's the great thing about that tracker.
Yeah.
It has date and stamp, so I can manage it through the network.
Yeah.
So I could see, hey, nothing's getting turned in. I didn't see anything uploaded. And if something was turned in, it's not uploaded.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great. A 2024 job slipped onto the 2023, and I was able to call him like, hey,
yeah.
You know, and change all that. So it's nice to be able to see real-time activity when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still, you know, tweak and check on them and know, and still be have some sort of a control
to
make sure things are still going good.
For me, one of the things I thought about definitely is that, well, because I had a little bit tougher go of it when I was down there as far as the ability. My thing is the mask, because we had to do tests. And we're doing tests where you have to totally flood the mask and take it off.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a nose breather, I was really struggling with the idea, because I'm thinking I'm going to get water in my nose. And then I'm gonna be like struggling with the breathing thing. And if you get some, like something goes wrong, and what I had to realize is I have to trust this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
This is like daylight. This is like sunshine and air up there. I have it down there and underneath. and my brain can thrive with this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And so for me, I guess one of the things was just, you know, this is our instinct, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think you have to trust your instinct.
Yeah.
And I'm underneath there. You can't lose your nerve when you're a business owner. You're taking risk, massive risk. And I'm underneath the water. I'm taking massive risk, but I'm trusting my instinct in this case. And I think I'm processing all this now, but I like really thought a lot about like being like figuring out like who to trust. Cause if you don't, I mean, I've jumped out of an airplane before. I've skydived.
Yeah, I've skydived too. That was cool.
And like, you have to trust the person you're with. Like, cause man, I had like conspiracy theories in my mind that this guy's gonna kill me or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like my brain's freaking out. And I still do it, you know, and I'm thankful that we chose and we had coaches or whatever here that
were
like,
fantastic.
They pulled, he basically, like, I was trying to go up and he's like, he stopped me. He like held me and he goes, you know, and like that, you know, that's like, you know, getting decent, like either coaches, mentors or consultants that like can tell you when you might be off or homies.
Right. I almost, because you were shooting up so fast, you could have hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's I don't know what the analogy is there, but I would say you definitely could hurt yourself if you tried to get out of entrepreneurship really quick.
Well, you had all the equipment that help you run what you're supposed to do down there. Just like that's your team, basically.
Yeah.
You got the hose, you got systems. Your regulator, you got your device where you're checking out your gauge, where the depth, the time.
Yeah.
That you need to stay in certain areas because you're moving up. So it's
and
like
I would say that I thought about that. That's kind of like, you know, we're not all meant to exit our business the next few years.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of private equity going on right now in the business, but like maybe some of us aren't primed for that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so to shoot up early, it would hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
But in my case, like I know I've got a long ways. I want to sell, and a lot of roofing companies are in that spot where they know they want to increase their valuation significantly. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot up early.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot. You have a long,
don't premature,
lovely die. Yeah, don't. Yeah, exactly. The evac.
Yeah.
Don't prematurely evac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you've got a long, we've got a long, beautiful ride,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna miss some stuff. There's some really beautiful stuff to see, and I feel like we got to tell a little bit more about this dive. This is kind of a dive podcast.
Oh no, absolutely. The day was another
gorgeous
fantastic day.
You
see that turtle? It looked like it was off Nemo.
Yeah, how big was that thing? You were closer to it.
I was pretty close, so I know it was this big.
You were like chasing it a little
bit. Yeah, I got in trouble. I didn't know what I was doing. I just got certified. I'm a new diver, so.
So you was kind of going quick.
Dude, I was so ecstatic. I've never seen a turtle.
Yeah. It feels like magic.
So I wanted to touch it.
Yeah.
But it's okay that you touch it. It's just don't go up when you're at 90 feet or 80 feet. Don't start just going like this.
Yeah.
Trying to chase a turtle, because
that's the big.
That was
the analogy. Sorry, I'm going to stop with the analogies, but that would be like the big promise of the private equity company, the turtle.
Yeah.
But no, it's so incredibly magical down there. I was swimming, apparently there are terrapins. There's just these giant fish. They're like, I don't know, like that big.
Oh, they were, they're shiny.
They're fucking like badass.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all swimming in like a swarm. And like I got into this swarm. And I did finally touch the fin of one, but they're a little jumpy. They don't want you to touch them down there.
You see them shoot that line fish?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, but they're an invasive species here, so.
I thought he was gonna grab it, pocket it, and we're gonna like fry it up.
That's right. I was like confused, but then he told me the story of it's an invasive species. It literally kills over one will kill over a million babies a year.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. And sharks down here don't know that it's food because they think it's poisonous because it's invasive. For hundreds
still,
of years they haven't been here.
Still looks like food though. Like
it does.
I still
it looks
want
delicious.
To eat that. Yeah. I was looking at it, I was like,
I was like, are we going to eat that? And then he left it. And I was like, I'm kind of disappointed now.
Yeah.
Join the future of roofing at offers.roofle.com. Stand out, save time, earn more.
To oversimplify, you were a heroin addict.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you now are going to go to probably 5-6 million, probably 6 million at least this year plus.
Yeah.
So from that journey, Do you feel some type of redemption story? Like, what do you think about that transformation? Like, how do you feel?
It's weird to me because I don't even, when I look back and think of the old me, I can't even fathom that was me, because I was, what landed me to get in jail was like, I was breaking into homes, I was stealing things, I was not a very polite and very honest person, you know. I was doing things that no one should do. You know, I mean, how dare I break into someone's home? You know, how dare I put scare into someone's family like that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I didn't know if they had a family or not, breaking into homes, you know.
So and, do you believe in redemption?
Yeah, I do believe in redemption. Everybody can be, I mean, look at Saul, his name's Paul from, you know, the Bible. I mean, supposedly he murdered thousands of people. You know, so Jesus, God forgives everyone, you know. I mean, whatever you're spiritual in, you know, I'm spiritual in Christianity, you know, a little bit of Buddhism too, but, you know, everybody can be redeemed. You just got to be faithful and true to what you're doing, you know. And
how do you keep, like, and sorry to get deep here, but, like, how do you keep the guilt from drawing you back?
I got kids, man.
Yeah.
And they depend on me. You know, my son is an amazing 20-year-old that I, how dare I leave him absent of a father when I was on drugs, you know? I'm grateful to have my, I'm grateful for my son to even forgive me for the mistakes I've done. You know, our relationship after I'd done that had blossomed. He's my best friend. I also had a daughter that I've neglected for the last 11 years, you know, that I'm just, the last 2 years I've just been back in a relationship, trying to make a relationship, you know. I know I have to earn it, you know, like 2 years ain't enough out of 11 years, you know, but I'm earning it slowly. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to and asked of me and more, you know. So, you know, it's just stay humble and stay true to what you want to do, because I definitely don't want to be an addict. I'll think about it. You get those 7 second highs. Once an addict, always an addict, you know? You know, it's just how you deal with it when those things come up. And I know that my life is so much better right now. I'm able to help people, and that's what I thrive for. I love helping people. I have a business where I have 5 employees that depend on me to help them pay for their bills and things like that. You know, I have a great bonus structure. That, you know, just the other day, you know, my sales manager, you know, I started him on a salary. Now he's salary plus his commission, you know what I mean? Just being able to know that you've grown so much that you can give out those type of commissions and help other people out and started donations, you know, and being able to help Children's Hospital out with a whole bunch of donations and proceeds from each job for the next 25 days and so.
And I want to say, one, I'm incredibly grateful for this week. You calmed me down. You're a very calming presence, and it definitely feels like you've done some healing in the last few years. Like, I feel like you have a calming and healing, like a lot of calming and healing qualities in your, like, the way you interact with people. I also want to say I love you.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you.
That's why I wanted to get everybody that never tried sound bath or done it. I wanted them to experience that.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. That was this morning. If you want to.
So this morning, I heard over talking guys talking about energy and this. So without anybody knowing, I called up, found someone on the island that drove through our place that does a healing exercise with sound bowls and other instruments. And she sings in 3 different languages, different type of vocals that have a healing hurts in it. And I'll tell you what, man, that was actually one of the better ones I've been to. So you were lucky with that.
And like, she's also like, almost like a little worship. It was like kind of work. Yeah, it was motivational. It felt like, and she was like the sun inside of us. And she's like, God, it was such a beautiful, like, she was really good at it, basically.
Extremely good. She knew we were, it felt like she knew we were business owners, and she was putting in positivity in our life, basically good vibes for our business, the world, I mean, the ocean, the water, I mean, life itself.
And like, literally, like, man, it just like,
my hands are so heavy.
It made me tingle. Like, she talked a lot about gratefulness. Man, it was just a pleasant experience. So if you get a chance to do that, I mean, I wouldn't have thought it was going to be that cool, for sure.
No, absolutely. And I was standoffish about it first. Well, you know, laying on the ground, close your eyes, and people rub some bowls around. No, that stuff actually really works. It worked for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And somehow it's just shut off for the last 100, and now it's picking back up.
Yeah, I mean, the sun's coming up. We've got our feet in the ground, and we're meditating and listening to beautiful noises and a soothing voice telling us to, like, essentially, like, connect with nature and God.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's positive.
Your body needs those certain hertz to heal you. I mean, maybe not everybody believes in that, but something I believe in, and it works. It works for me, and I've seen it work for a lot of people, hundreds of people too.
Yeah, I've definitely, for some reason, energy and vibrations, and I don't want to go down a complete rabbit hole on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I 100%. Felt some very positive energy and vibrations at this retreat, and I think and basically the beginning of it was just like they're talking about relationships,
mm-hmm.
and we're kind of setting aside business for a second, focusing on relationships, mm-hmm. and yeah, I'm doing content and stuff like that. I'm sure you had business to do, you know, here and there, but like we did rest, and that's the other thing about scuba diving. It forces you to stop. You can't pull out your phone when you're down there.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the enjoyment of that.
Yeah.
Know? And I
totally focus on the moment.
I hate that I'm so glued to my phone. Like I used to not. When I was an addict, I didn't have a phone.
Yeah.
5-6 years. I didn't have 8-7 years actually. Yeah. I didn't have no phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't need one. You know, now I'm like, I have to have my phone, and it's like I have to content this, and I hate it that my mind's set like that. So I know I need to set a goal to where I'm only on social media a couple times a week or so, just for work, nothing else.
Well, if you have any tips, people watching this, if you have any tips, comment below with your tips for how to get over phone addiction or how to work on using your phone less. We're gonna wrap up. I really appreciate you being on. Could you give the .com for your business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's jackarooroofs.com, J-A-C-K. AROOROOFS.com.
Is it Jackaroo Roofs on social?
What did you say?
Is it Jackaroo Roofs on social as well?
Yes.
On social media?
Yeah.
Awesome. So check them out. Follow
social
them.
Social media is Jackaroo Roofing and Construction. I'm sorry.
Jackaroo Roofing and Construction on social media. And the podcast is put on by HookAgency.com. Hook Agency all over social media. Please comment, like, subscribe. And if you're listening to it on Spotify or iTunes, please rate and review the podcast. It really does help us get found. And I'm just always a little bit blessed when I see like 300 people or something listen or watch the show, or, you know, I don't know. So it's anywhere between like 150 to 1,000. And it's kind of a cool, we get to talk to a bunch of people. And I really, really do appreciate you guys that are listening and watching. It does matter. And I think that even this show can be a source of positivity to roofing business owners and people leading roofing companies that are selling. And I hope to continue that.
Entrepreneur looking for insight on things. Yeah. This is not just for roofers. It's, you know, it's for everyone, really. Anyone that wants to be a part of something that, and is serious about, you know, going all in, you know, give it your all, go all in, don't hold nothing back, you know, it's definitely worth it, you know.
And dude, I think this has been a great story of redemption and powerful for folks that may be in that situation where they feel hopeless. So thank you.
I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you.